our God and Heavenly Father, we thank thee for thy grace and mercy. Thou hast been kind to us. Thou knowest what is in the heart of man. Thou knowest how easy it is for us to be wayward and careless. And yet thou hast come humbly to us to show us the things of Christ. We pray the help of thy Holy Spirit. May thy Holy Spirit take the things of the Lord Jesus Christ and show them unto us as we study, that we might grow in grace and in knowledge. For thy name's sake we ask it. Amen. During the time that our Lord Jesus Christ was here upon earth, he gathered round about him a group of men whom he chose to be with him and to learn the full meaning of the gospel, that they might share it with other people. Of all those people that come to listen to the Lord Jesus Christ, we commonly use the word disciple. And then of those that he chose to be his close workers and those whom he would send out to witness, he called them apostles. And we're all acquainted with the fact that he chose 12 apostles who were to be with him, to learn of him, and then they were to go out with power to cast out demons and to heal the sick and to do the various things that he had done and to preach the gospel, to tell people the things that God would do in grace and mercy toward mankind. Now, of these 12 apostles that the Lord Jesus Christ chose, which were his close associates and to whom he committed the responsibility of preaching the gospel, of proclaiming it over the country as a whole, there was one who actually denied his Lord, who actually turned away from the Lord Jesus Christ. I expect all the world knows that the name of Judas Iscariot is the name of a traitor. And yet the story of Judas presents a great tragedy, because here was a man who had the opportunity of being with the Lord Jesus Christ, and after he saw the things of the Lord Jesus Christ, actually turned away from him. You probably have heard various explanations of that action of Judas. There will be people that give various explanations that would indicate why he did this thing. Some people would say that he didn't really think that the Lord Jesus would actually come to any harm, and he would just be able to get the 30 pieces of silver and not really hurt the Lord. Another would think that he was going to be arrested anyway. They would eventually find him, and he might as well have the 30 pieces of silver as not. And other people would say that he had become disappointed in the Lord Jesus, and that he just was, as it were, frustrated about the whole program. The Lord Jesus had not done what he had expected him to do, and so he just, as it were, sold him out. And then there are other ways of looking at it. As for myself, I'm frank to say that I just think he saw 30 pieces of silver, and that the love of money was just so strong that for the time being it overcame. But all of such various suggestions are really of only secondary value. The great truth of the matter that you and I have to face is the fact that this person who had walked with the Lord turned against him and was actually the one whom Satan used to trick the Lord Jesus into the hands of his enemy. And now we're going to read the final results of that to Judas himself. And we're going to come, as it were, to the final action, the last scene in the tragedy of Judas Iscariot. This will be found in the Gospel according to Matthew in chapter 27. And we'll begin to read it the first, and I will read and comment as we start in chapter 27, verse 1. If you have your Bibles with you, just open them up, Matthew chapter 27, and I'll begin to read it the first verse, and this is what I find. When the morning was come, and you will remember the Lord Jesus had been arrested during the night. If you will recall, you will remember the night before had begun with the Lord Jesus arranging for the Passover feast with his disciples. You remember he turned that into the Last Supper. And at that time he instituted the Lord's Supper, taking his bread and breaking it and drinking the cup with his disciples. You will remember all that had been done. And other things had been done at that time. The washing of the disciples' feet was done on that very night while they were around the table. After that, they had gone out, you'll remember, to the Mount of Olives. And there at the Mount of Olives, they'd gone into the Garden of Gethsemane. And when they'd gone into the Garden of Gethsemane, there, you will recall, the Lord Jesus had prayed. When he came out from there, then he was arrested, you will recall. Judas Iscariot led the soldiers and identified him. They arrested him. And from there, he was taken to the court of Caiaphas, the high priest, and was found guilty of death. So here, by that time, it was morning. All this happened during the night. I expect he was arrested probably sometime after midnight, that sort of thing. When the morning was come, all the chief priests and elders of the people took counsel against Jesus to put him to death. They discussed the ways and means in which this could be done. And when they had bound him, they led him away and delivered him to Pontius Pilate, the governor. Binding him would be with us a good deal like putting handcuffs on him. They tied him up pretty much like they would tie up any man who would be considered a real criminal. Then Judas, which had betrayed him, when he saw that he was condemned, repented himself, and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. Now this would indicate that apparently Judas had not been aware of the fact that he would be condemned by this council. I don't know whether he had considered it and had decided it wouldn't happen, or whether he had just ignored it and didn't think about it. It doesn't tell us that. But it does tell us the fact that he suddenly became aware when he saw that he was condemned. And apparently when he saw that the Lord Jesus was condemned to die, when he saw that it went that far, when he saw that he was condemned, he repented himself and brought again the 30 pieces of silver to the chief priests and elders, saying, I have sinned in that I have betrayed the innocent blood. He knew there was nothing wrong about the Lord Jesus Christ. And he realized now that he had done wrong. And they said, What is that to us? See thou to that. That kind of an answer on their part is the answer that the world will give us at any time if we go with them. Because so far as they're concerned, they're not interested in us, and they're not interested in us going with them. They're interested in bringing their own ideas to pass. That's really what they want to do, and that's what these people did. Now we read in verse 5, And he cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. That's the way in which it reads. Now, by the way, there are different writings in the New Testament, different records about the death of Judas. And sometimes people will say they don't know for sure how he died because of the different reports. But you'll find the different reports are not so different from each other. Here it says he went and hanged himself. In another place it says that falling down headlong, his body burst open, as it were, and that he was destroyed. Now, actually, the hanging that took place in those days was not our kind of a hanging, something where the man is pronounced dead and then taken away and put in a coffin and taken out of the prison. That was not the way it was done in those days. The way it was done in those days, when a man was hung, he was left hanging. He was left hanging there until, for one reason or another, the body itself would just practically decay. He was left hanging as a kind of an example. And in this whole picture, all that you will need to have in mind is that he went and hanged himself, and that sometime later, the body broke off. The rope broke, or in whatever else way it would be, and the body falling down burst to pieces. Try that when you compare these different records. It's not a very pleasant line of thought. It's a gruesome thing, but it is the end of an apostle. It's the end of a man who had been with the Lord. And we can afford to look at it while we tell our own human hearts to be careful. I'll tell you, we can't trust ourselves, because here was a man who was well enough trusted by the group as a whole to act as their treasurer. They had made him treasurer, and they let him hold the money. Evidently had a reputation for being a responsible, a reliable man. And yet here he did like this. He cast down the pieces of silver in the temple and departed and went and hanged himself. And one more time, let me say that that's just the gesture that we can take when we've done something we shouldn't have done, and we go out and we treat ourselves real rough, but won't change anything. The chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It is not lawful for us to put them in the treasury because it is the price of blood." And you and I can think thoughts to ourselves about their ethics and about their being so anxious to be legal and lawful. They had paid this money to get this when betrayed into their hands, and now when it's brought back to them, they say, "Well, it wouldn't be right for us to take it." You could ask yourself, what had they ever thought about what was right? But that's what they did. And we'll find that a strange thing. We'll find people who can be dishonest along certain lines can be so very, very careful to do the right thing along other lines. So the chief priest took the silver pieces and said, "It's not lawful for us to put them in the treasury because it is the price of blood." And they took counsel, that is, they discussed the matter among themselves and bought with them the potter's field to bury the strangers in. So they bought a pauper's graveyard, so to speak. And wherefore that field was called the field of blood unto this day. Then was fulfilled that which was spoken by Jeremiah the prophet, saying, "They took the 30 pieces of silver, the price of him that was valued, whom they of the children of Israel did value, and gave them for the potter's field, as the Lord appointed me." That's what the prophet had said would happen. And so this is the total overall story, with its ugly and tragic ending for Judas. And we could ask ourselves, who would ever be like that, surrounded with the truth of the gospel and yet enamored with personal interest, having personal interest so strong that he would go against the very things that he knew so well. But before we just despise Judas, we might very well ask ourselves, as we think on this, in what way is there any chance that we might do this same foolish thing? I've often took note of the fact that a person can hold a dime so close to the eye that you can't see the sun. You can let possessions get in your way. And it wouldn't be a bad idea for any one of us to ask ourselves at any time, what is my 30 pieces of silver? What is it that I've just got to have, little as it is, what is it that I've just got to have regardless, and for the sake of it, I will actually deny the Lord? That's all that Judas did. Our God and Heavenly Father, give us grace and mercy to be faithful to him, and overrule in our hearts that we will not allow things or personal experiences in any way to get between us and the Lord. For his name's sake we ask it. Amen.